Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Joshua chapter 3, but let's start with chapter 2 tonight. The two witnesses. Look at verse 24. These two witnesses, they say, "Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." Now remember what they said when they went into Jericho, and there was Rahab, and Rahab said, "We've heard about you guys," and everybody's frightened to death. Right in your margin here, this fulfills what God promised He would do. Exodus chapter 23, verse 27, and Deuteronomy 2, verse 25. God said, "If you trust me, if you let me move in front of you, I will fight these battles for you, and I will move ahead. And I'm going to bring up to their notice the things that I've been doing." And what Rahab says is, "We heard about the parting of the Red Sea. That was 40 years ago. We heard about your Shekinah glory. We heard about the three nations you rolled over before you got to us, the ones that were east of the Jordan. And now you're pointing that powerful God of yours right at us." So no matter what the fortress looked like, no matter how formidable the walls appeared, God has gone before. And that's what happens when we step out in spiritual warfare as well. But let's check it out. Now we're in chapter 3, verse 1. "Then Joshua rose early in the morning." Would you circle that one? Some of you guys are larks. You guys get up in the early in the morning, no problem. Some of you guys are owls, and you know your day doesn't even start until about 3 p.m. But there really is something about rising early. You might want to mark in your margin there, Isaiah 50, verse 4. I'll read it to you. "The Lord God has given me," speaking prophetically of the Messiah, "the Lord God has given me, Messiah, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. And he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." Have you been noticed we've been slipping in some songs that basically ask the Lord to awaken us? Have you noticed that sometimes you go through seasons in your walk with the Lord, and there are seasons that just seem to be so very dry? And the enemy loves to capitalize on those times. He likes to say, "Yeah, pretty dry, huh? Your Lord is probably, I don't know, off in the Bahamas somewhere vacationing. He doesn't even care about you." I personally have had a revival of sorts starting at the end of the summer. And it began with me getting up early in the morning and just worshiping Him. Proverbs 8, verse 17, "I love those who love me, says the Lord, and those who seek me diligently shall find me." If there's a dryness to your soul, if there's something that you're facing that is difficult, if the marriage challenge seems perhaps overwhelming, if the financial challenges seem perhaps overwhelming, if you're faced with a very important decision, you're not sure what to do, get up early in the morning and just worship Him. Day number one is fairly simple because it's kind of novel. But then the next day, that's tough because you got up early, but then you stayed up to your normal thing. And so the next early morning, you're like, oh, seriously? And if you can hang in for about a week, try, give the Lord a week, getting up early in the morning and just worshiping Him, or get your praying through the tabernacle cheat sheet out and go through. It's special what happens. Well, this is what Joshua does. He gets up early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove. That was the name of this community. You remember, they're on the east side of the Jordan and they're going to cross over to the west side, or the Promised Land. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. 3 days they're going to hang out there. Everyone is going to get a good look at this river, by the way. And one of the details we'll see here in a minute is this isn't some like Truckee trickle like what we have around here. This is very near where the Dead Sea is. And if you remember your geography, the Sea of Galilee then drains via the Jordan River and it makes its way. It's about 60 some miles as the crow flies, but if you have to follow all the meanders, it's a little over 100 miles. And then the Yarmouk River joins it, another little tributary. And by the time it gets down here near the north end of the Dead Sea, on average, it's about 90 feet across and about 3 to about 10 feet deep. But yearly, because of the runoff of the snows from Mount Hermon, it gets a little bit bigger. Eyewitnesses who have written and historians who have noticed, and it even so happens to this day at times, that during flood season, the Jordan River is almost a mile across, and it's flowing huge. I don't know, 3 days to get a chance to look at that river. We're going to cross that. Verse 2, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, now when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Follow the Ark of the Covenant. There's a little subtlety happening here. The pillar is going to disappear. A cloud in the daytime and a fire at night has been leading them around. What's going to happen here is the cloud is going to be replaced by the Ark. Follow the Ark. Remember what it was. It was a box, and the big lid was solid gold with the two angels that were featured or fashioned facing each other with their arms outstretched, forming a shadow on the surface. And you remember what that lid was called? It was called the mercy seat. What a picture. We're talking about principles of the Promised Land. Now, when you're going to go into the Promised Land and you've made that decision, unlike the tribes of Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh who settled outside, you're going to go into the Promised Land. I'm going to do this. And God says, follow my Ark. What is the Ark? It was the visible presence, as it were, of the focus of God, because it was a box. What did it contain? Inside were the broken tablets of the law that when Moses came down the first time from Sinai with the commandments, what were all the people doing? They're all partying. And he threw them down in disgust and they shattered. God said, put those shattered pieces inside the box. What else was in the box? Aaron's rod. And when people were saying, you know that Aaron is too big for his britches, what does he think he's God's big leader for? We should lead. We hear God too. God says to Moses, take Aaron's rod and put it into the tabernacle of meeting. That is the holy place. And all these other guys who think that they have a rightful place to lead God's people without the ceremonial cleansing and without the fruit over time that Aaron had demonstrated under Moses, put their rods in there too. And here's how we're going to find out who God's man is. They come by the next day and God says, whosoever rod buds or breaks forth with fruit, he's the man. And that guy's rod was nothing, nothing, nothing. And they picked up Aaron's rod, and what had happened? It had budded or bloomed, if you will. The fruit was evident. God says, put that in the box too. The broken law of God, that's easy. That's manifested or reminded, I suppose, of the broken pieces there in the ark. What's Aaron's rod? How we constantly want to blow off God's leadership and do it our own way. Put that in the box. You remember one third thing that was in the box, and that was take a little bit of the manna and put that in there. What was the manna? That was the bread. The people called it manna. Manna means, what is it? God never called it manna. He always called it what, everybody? Bread. So basically the people said, manna again? We have manna burgers, manna cotti, manna bagels, manna. Manna, 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 come on, Lord, give us something to eat. We're not being fed. So God says, take a little bit of that, put that in the box too. That's complaining against God's provision. So there they are in the box. People's rebellion to God's leaders, people breaking God's law, and people complaining against God's provision. But what was on top of that? The what seat? Mercy seat. So God looked through, as it were, mercy to behold all the goofy things that humans are capable of. Follow that. So I wonder, as the priests are getting lined up, remember they couldn't touch the ark proper, so that what they had to do was they had to run a pole through the rings that were set on the corners, a long pole, and then they were to bear the burden or the weight of the ark. It must have weighed a fair amount because the top of it was solid gold. And they bore it on the shoulders of the priests. Verse 2 again. So it was that after 3 days the officers went through the camp. Verse 3, they commended the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant, the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, set out from your place and go after it. And they're standing there on the shores of this rushing torrent of floodwaters. I wonder if they elbowed each other going, where do you think the ark's going to go? Principle of the promised land, when you hear God's word and you see God move, follow it. Amen. And one good way that you could do that, you guys, is Tuesday nights praying through the tabernacle. If you haven't been with us, it's really been quite rich. It really is a beautiful thing. We break them into very small groups and we talk, we pray in pretty much like one or two sentences and we move quickly. But what it is, we go through the gate with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. We encounter the brazen altar where we have an opportunity to confess our sins. But we don't stop there. We move to the laver, the water. We're washed in the water of the word. People are reading verses or out of their memory or off their smartphones, whatever it is. And it's amazing often what people prayed at the brazen altar is often answered by somebody's verse that comes to their mind. Then you go inside the holy place and there's the table of showbread. Oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Those things that you need specifically. And then you turn to the left and there's the golden lampstand. And we pray for anyone who is the light of the world. We prayed for pastors all over this community last night. And then you turn to the altar of incense, the golden altar. And there's where you intercede. And it's also a place when you can do like Jesus has said, hey, harvest. Pray for those who spitefully use you. It's not natural. It's not typical. But when you tell your flesh, I'm going to pray for the people that have hurt me. Maybe it's fresh in your mind, or maybe it was years or decades ago. There's something wonderful about when you can pray and release those people that have hurt you so much. The enemy would love to hold you into the chains of bitterness. But when you can pray and release into the Lord, I'm telling you, you walk out of here a little lighter than when you came in. And then we go behind the veil and we just hang out in the Holy of Holies. We typically pass around the communion at that point. And you look up and it's been a little over an hour. And I'm telling you something. Productive prayer time it has been. Productive and huge. I was trying to listen into a couple of the other little groups, and then we were praying for the light of the world. Other pastors in this community were getting prayed for. When was the last time you prayed for other churches in the area? It's a productive time, you guys. It truly is amazing. When you hear God's word and you see God's move, follow it. Well, I don't know if I ever hear or see. Come to Tuesday nights. It's a good place to get started. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. It's going to go out in front, hold off a bit, about 2,000 cubits by measure. It's about a half a mile. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. What's going on here? Remember, you got 2, maybe 3 million people. Is that a pretty good crowd? And if the ark was immediately in front, you probably couldn't see if you were more than a few rows back. But if the ark was a half a mile or so in front of you, then I think from that vantage point, everybody can see it, is why I think this happened. For you have not passed this way before. You're not used to this. You're going to really need the guidance of God's word through the visible model of the ark. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. That's one of those Bible words that maybe you're not familiar with. It's pretty simple. It means to set apart or to prepare. Set yourselves apart from what, everybody? I don't know, Facebook. My son had to set me down and tell me what a meme was. I don't think I have it down even still. Set yourself apart. Prepare yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Does this sound familiar? About 40 years in front of this on Mount Sinai, that's what God tells Moses to tell the people. Oh, look out and see what's going to happen tomorrow. Remember, the Promised Land is a model of the Spirit-filled life. You can be saved, you can have your fire insurance, and you can be baptized, as it were, in the Red Sea for the remission of sin. But we all have an opportunity to get baptized again here, modeled by the crossing of the Jordan into the Promised Land. God's promise of fruit, of milk and honey. And a whole lot of Christians say at times, where's the milk and honey? Where's the fruit? Where's the Spirit filled? It has to begin here. What are you talking about, Steve? Many people want to be filled with the Spirit, but are we willing to be emptied of sin first? Imagine if you have a glass and you want to get a lot of water in it, but somebody says to you, hold on, let me fill up your glass with rocks. I'm sorry, what? Put some rocks in there. Okay, here's some rocks. And then I pour water on there. Do I have water in my vessel? Could there be more? What do I have to do first? I got to get the rocks out. Lord, help us get the rocks out. Also, notice another principle of the Promised Land here. When preparing for battle, notice that the captains don't say, sharpen your swords, check your shields. Principle of the Promised Land. When you're about to face something like a Jericho, a fortress seemingly, weaponry bristling in your direction, and shouting from the wall tops, you're so gonna lose. Don't even think about coming in here. God says that our weapons are not carnal, amen? But they're spiritual. Look at this. Instead of sharpening your swords and check your shields, it's sanctify. Separate your mind and hearts from the things of the world. Focus on Him. Verse 6. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Remember, the book of Joshua is prophetic as well as historic. How do you say Yahshua? You say it in Hebrew, you say Yahshua. How do you say Joshua in Greek? You say Jesus. Do you remember that Jesus, before his public ministry, before his, as it were, exalting before the people, he stopped somewhere as well? The baptism of John the Baptist. Oh, and by the way, for you Bible students, they're at a little place called Bethabara, the house of the crossing, is where the story tonight takes place. Guess where John the Baptist baptized? Bethabara, the same place. Jesus got baptized when he came out of the water, remember? The Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, was at practically the same location that these people are going to go through. So there's a model that Joshua is going to be held up and exalted. Just before his public ministry began, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. Matthew 3, verse 17 says, "And when he came up out of the water, suddenly a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Was that, as it were, exalting Jesus before the people? The model form is Yahshua right here. Verse 8. "You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand,'" what's the next word, everybody? "In the Jordan." Now, wait a minute. When they were coming through the Red Sea, didn't God split the water and then they went through? I see. Oh, good. Then I step. When we're talking about the promised land, the model of the spirit-filled life, God says, not this time. You step, then you'll see. Principle of the promised land, the spirit-filled life, you step and then you see. The gifts of the Spirit are very, very similar. How do you know if you have some gifts? Step out in them and see. One of the great ways to know that God is really doing the driving is often indicated by our wallet. I'm not haranguing the crowd for funds. I'm just wanting to let you know something. One of the best ways that you can step and then see in literally little categories called numbers is in our giving. Not just our money, but time, talent, as well as resources. That's one of those areas where God says, go ahead and step. And when you do and step out, you will see the miraculous move of God. Verse 9. "So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here, hear the words of the Lord your God.' Joshua said, 'And by this you shall know that the living God is among you.'" He says this a lot, does Joshua. "And that he will without fail drive out from before you the," if you have a pen, if you wouldn't mind, write a little number one, "the Canaanites." "And the," now write a little number two, "Hittites." "And the," write a number three, "Hivites." Number four, "the Perizzites." Number five, "the Girgashites." Number six, "the Amorites," and number seven, "the Jebusites." Well, the reason I had you do this, this is actually quite amazing as well as prophetic. In the book of Numbers as well as Deuteronomy, you find out there that under Moses, before he handed it off to Joshua, they encountered three of the 10 nations occupying the promised land. Moses and Joshua, they wiped out already Shinon and Og, Numbers 21, verses 21 through 35. Shinon and Og, there's two. And the Amalekites, that's three. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 10. There were 10 nations, 10 authorities. What is left after three have been defeated? How many are left? Seven. So you have seven kings left from the 10 kingdoms. So you have seven heads with 10 horns. Are you following me? And as we get to the actual battle of Jericho, we're going to see some startling similarities to the book of Revelation as well.
You've been listening to the book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.